You're with Life Matters. What do you know about the insurance policies you hold through your super fund? Lots of us have these policies by default, but don't really understand what we might need from the policies, even though we pay for them every month out of our superannuation balance. And some recent changes to regulations around superannuation mean those insurance premiums might be going up, some by more than 10%. Super Consumers Australia is a people's advocate body in the superannuation sector. Its director is Xavier O'Halloran. And Xavier, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me.
Xavier, tell us about your organisation first off. Why do we need a group to advocate for members in the super sector?
Yeah, sure. So we're a pretty new organisation. We've only been around for about 3 years now and really set up by some regulators in the space and some independent government reports, which found it was really important to have a consumer voice in superannuation debates and particularly policy debates. This is, you know, a $3 trillion industry with everyone's retirement savings tied up in it, and often some of the loudest voices in superannuation debates come from those groups with vested interests. So it was seen as really important to have an independent consumer voice that could really present what the situation is for consumers, provide independent research into policy debates, and then give information and advice back to consumers. So we partner with Choice, the consumer organisation, which many of your listeners may be aware of as well. So we do really practical things at times, things like last year when, you know, the pandemic was starting to affect people in early March, we went and did research on, say, the insurance policies that everyone held in their superannuation to see if the pandemic was going to affect that, and found there were pandemic exclusions in a lot of those policies, and so worked with the industry and highlighted where there were problems and where people might find that their covers limited or restricted. And we found that within a week, basically, a lot of the superannuation funds decided they weren't going to enforce those terms. So it's really important to have a consumer voice to push back against the industry on these types of things.
So, Xavier, with this current story and issues around it, what are some of the insurances we pay for in our superannuation that perhaps we aren't even aware of?
Yeah, so there's three main types of insurance that people will be paying for in their super. The first one is death cover. It's really designed to cover you if you pass away and really help support your family financially if that happens. Then there's an income protection cover. That's really designed if you're temporarily disabled and need it to draw down an income, that will help cover those types of costs. And then there's total and permanent disability cover, which, as it the name explains, covers you if you're totally and permanently disabled and can no longer work again. So that provides a lump sum payment for people in those situations.
Now, for some of us listening, they may not have even until this conversation understood the kind of protections that are inbuilt into our super through these insurance policies. And yet the Australian Prudential Regulation Authority, or APRA, has raised serious concerns around consumer protections when it comes to what might be coming ahead of us in terms of premium increase from July 1st of this year. What are some of the APRA concerns they raised back in March?
Yeah, so they sent out a letter to all superannuation trustees and let them know they're really worried about some of the volatility that they're expecting in premiums for insurance in super. It was actually that they'd kind of been seeing that there were some unsustainably low premiums being charged at the moment, and they thought that to avoid any big future price shocks that might occur, that they should be really planning ahead and making sure that if those changes happen, that consumers aren't suddenly finding themselves paying, you know, double-digit figure increases year on year, because that really undermines a lot of confidence in the system. They also found things like superannuation funds in particular have been quite poor at collecting data on their members about what their needs are when it comes to insurance or the kinds of risks that they might face.
And as a result, why is that a case? Why has it been so poor as a sector in gathering data about their clients?
Yeah, it's a bit hard to know. The Productivity Commission did a big report on it a few years ago and had the same kind of findings. I just don't think superannuation funds have been engaged with individual members and individual needs. It's been a kind of out of sight, out of mind service for a lot of people. And so they haven't really been tested on these types of things. So it's good to see that the regulators are now really forcing them to pay attention to this kind of stuff.
Okay, so when it comes to what could be happening from July 1st this year, there's been some, you know, figures bandied around about how much insurance premiums could go up. How much could I be paying after July 1st, depending on who I am?
Yeah, so unlike health insurance, they don't tend to be linked to a kind of July 1st increase. And so we've seen some of these increases already flowing through into the system. So we've heard of, 11, 12% price increases. Others we've seen as high as 20% from one of the major industry funds a bit over a year ago. A lot of this is really responding to some of the changes that are happening in the system at the moment, which is leading to some of these price increases.
So I was reading that the regulator ASIC released a report late last year finding there were really quite wide variations in the cost and the quality of insurance cover. For example, they found, depending on the MySuper product, a 30-year-old woman could face a premium that could range from $29 to $732 a year. How can those kinds of disparity exist?
Yeah, those are huge differences. And it's a report that didn't get much attention, unfortunately. I think it came out about a week before Christmas, so there wasn't too much scrutiny on this one. But it accounts a little bit for differences in risk in the way the products have been designed. So some of that would be accounted for in, say, one insurance policy might offer a massively bigger benefit than another one. But it's important to keep in mind these policies are designed to be default. A lot of people aren't selecting them in any way. That's just what people end up in when they sign up to superannuation. So you'd really think that super funds would be designing them to meet a kind of general need, and you wouldn't see this kind of huge levels of variation between the funds. Even when you account for some of this, though, there are clearly some big differences as well. Some of the other segments of the report talked about how in that same scenario for a 50-year-old man, they could be paying almost five times as much for $1,000 worth of cover. And for the 30-year-old woman, could be paying over 12 times as much for the same dollar value in cover. So part of it probably comes down a little bit into the need and importance to shop around and make sure you're getting good value. But there are also different risks across different industries that are covered by superannuation funds as well. So that accounts for a little bit of the difference too. So, for example, someone working in, say, a higher risk construction industry that might have an industry fund that covers them, they're likely to be paying a lot more than someone that works in, say, more of an office-based industry where there are less risks.
All right, so let's say we've alerted people in this conversation to the fact that perhaps they're paying more than they should for the kind of policy they're receiving in their superannuation. What can they do to shop around for a better deal?
Yeah, so the super funds don't currently make it very easy. There's, you're often confronted with, say, a 30-page document that's filled with legalese and fine print. But our best advice is really to talk to your current superannuation fund. Find out what you're actually covered for at the moment and the circumstances that it will cover you in. Some of the better funds have also started offering simplified statements of the cover, so you're really aware of any carve-outs there might be, exactly what you're going to be covered for in really simple and easy to understand terms. And then find out what those default insurance policies are, because a lot of people likely have them. They may not even know that they've got insurance bundled with their superannuation at the moment.
Exactly.
The last time someone looked at this, I think it was about a quarter of people were completely unaware of what they had in there. So it's good to find out exactly what you've got. And then you can also adjust your cover depending on what your actual needs are, and figure out what your needs are too. So ASIC Money Smart website is a good resource for information about adding up what your different costs might be if you can no longer work due to disability or death, things like school fees, paying off the mortgage, living expenses for anyone who's financially dependent on you, and then starting to base some of your insurance cover needs on those calculations so that you've got a really targeted insurance policy that will meet your needs.
So you can customise within your own super fund in terms of how much of the policy you want to take on or not. But what about if I go, I can't really afford those premiums on top of the super at the moment. I might dip out completely and just say I want my insurance that's already included in my super fund to be voided and I'll come back in later. Is there any problems with that?
Yeah, there is a bit of a risk with that one. You can certainly do that, but what tends to happen if you come in at a later time, the insurers will do something called underwriting. Now, what that is, it really, they assess all your different health risks, and obviously those grow as you age, and they may decide based on those health risks that they either want to charge you more for the insurance or they might not offer it at all. So when you're figuring out whether you should cancel your insurance, really think about what your future needs might be as well as your needs for today.
That's interesting. So are you saying that, you know, we've had reports as you've filtered through to us, Xavier, that in fact there's not a lot of data from superannuation funds about those policyholders of insurance under the fund? There's not enough data there. But suddenly when you leave the fund and come back in, I take it then that's when data gathering really occurs and risk assessment from the insurance companies starts to kick in.
Yeah, that's right. So it's really stacked a little bit against you as an individual consumer. They really start to dig up as much data as they can once you're trying to come back in and actually get insurance, but they're fine to leave it and not really collect enough when they're designing the policy for you or accepting a kind of big group of default members into the insurance product.
You said also that, you know, you need to look at what you need in your current state of life and also going forward when it comes to the policies that you may have automatically included. But let's say I want to reassess the life insurance cover that's already provided through my super fund. What kinds of factors do I need to think about going forward?
Yeah, so one interesting way to save money in some situations is that super funds often default you into what they think their average member cover needs are and the type of risk that they face. So it's always a good idea to check with your super fund what that is. You might find that you're paying for insurance that is designed for someone working in a higher risk occupation than you actually work, so you might save some money there. But it's the same kind of factors that I mentioned before around figuring out what you want to plan for if you can no longer work again or you pass away, what your family's needs will be. So it'll be really practical things like how you're going to pay rent or the mortgage, how you're going to pay for school fees, do you want to pay your funeral paid for example, if you pass away. There are resources out there on the ASIC Money Smart website that can help you think about what all those different eventualities might be and give you a rough idea of what they might cost as well.
Well, with so much volatility, as you've discussed, in the possible premiums you could be paying now and into the future based on these concerns that you're raising, Xavier, is there any chance that I could just cancel my entire insurance policies under my super and get a better deal outside? I mean, are there products that could actually meet my needs that are more, cheaper, I guess, than what I would get under super?
Yeah, so typically in the past, the insurance in super has been a bit cheaper than what you could get outside of super. So people have tended to keep it in super for a money saving. That's not always the case though, and sometimes the policies aren't completely aligned. You might find that you can get a policy outside of superannuation, for example, that's more tailored to your actual needs because it's not designed to meet the needs of a kind of bulk general audience. So
right.
It's really worth shopping around, and you might want in those situations get look for some financial advice as well, because these policy terms are quite complex to unpack, and it really does help to have someone to assist you through it that understands how the policies work and in what situations they might pay out.
Okay, so get some clarity about what you're paying now and then get some support maybe in choosing what might be better for you in the future. But it's great to know, it's a heads up here, that you may be paying too much even now for the kind of insurance that you didn't even know you had under superannuation. Xavier O'Halloran, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks for being with you.
Xavier is the Director of Super Consumers Australia. It's the people's advocate body in the superannuation sector.